The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now we're coming to you live from Westport in County Mayo. Today we're here for the Rolling Sun Book Festival, and one of the guests tomorrow who will be interviewed on stage is Stephanie Prisner, and we're delighted she's joined us here in The Last Word today. Hello to you, Stephanie.
Hello.
Now, I was just asking you off air if you've been watching House of Cards, and you haven't, but the reason I asked you was I've been ranting on Twitter over the last 24 hours about having wasted 8 hours in reason the last week in watching Series 6 of a program which is absolutely and utterly died on its feet, which has gone absolutely and utterly ridiculous, and just all the investment that I'd put into it earlier has been completely and utterly wasted. The only reason I bring that up with you is you have decided to walk away from Can't Cope, Won't Cope after two series, and not just a hit in RTE, picked up by BBC Three and by Netflix in the United States and United Kingdom. Why not continue it?
Because I don't want people like you tweeting and resenting me for investing time in watching. Now, if you watch 6 hours of Can't Cope, Won't Cope, that's only 3 hours, but it's still a lot of time. And I just didn't feel like when it was considered to write a third season, I thought about what that third season would be. And I was like, no, I can't. I never really wanted to be a writer, you know. And so I write the things that I feel I have to say, like I want to say. And this would just be like, oh yeah, I could probably scramble together some threads and I could throw them into this situation, but I wouldn't be passionate about it. And I can't like look people in the eye and say, I stand over this and this is something I'm proud of if I'm not. And even in season two, you know, there were things like, because when I started, I was so, when I wrote Can't Cope, Won't Cope season one, I had never written for television before. I'd never even written dialogue before. I was so excited that I was going to have a show on TV. I wrote season one and I was like, this is amazing. I never considered a season two. So then season two came along and I was like, ugh, okay, I can definitely see where these girls are going to go for another couple of episodes. But it was a scramble, you know, and I look at it now and I'm like, why is Ferg in Dublin when she's in Vancouver if they're both in the same course and they're meant to be on their gap and they're meant to be on their year abroad? Like, I didn't think that through. And so I see holes in series two. I wasn't going to start trying to cobble together a season three because it is out internationally and it is on Netflix and BBC, and I want only my best work and my best voice to be out there.
Does that suggest you're the sort of perfectionist who looks back at your work and then goes, oh, I wish I'd done that differently, or could I remake it again and do it differently and it would be better, rather than parking it and saying, okay, it's done, it's out there, I gotta move to something else?
Yes. You only ever see the compromises, really. When my first book came out, the only book that's out actually, sorry to be
there's another one coming,
but like, you know, that's like people saying, the first time I met Barack Obama, it's like, you only met him once, but that sentence is still technically correct. There was a typo on page 218, and when I was doing a book signing, that was what I had to write down on people's, like, hi, sorry for the typo on page 218, Steph, because I just was like, oh my god, this is so, I'm ashamed of this mistake.
Is that a bit OCD?
Oh, probably, yeah. I mean, there's probably other psychological things you could throw at me, but it's definitely a little bit OCD.
Okay,
but also, I think we live in a world that is so false almost. And, you know, like all this Instagram and putting up your best self and I have a book and I have a TV series. And it's like, yeah, but the reality is, and there are people looking at me, you know, who want to write a book or who want to have a television series. I have a profile where people can see me. I want to be realistic and I don't want to be feeling like I am, if I know the real me, I don't want the real me to be less than what people think of me, because then I'll just always measure myself against that and feel a little bit crap. And so it's important to say, yes, I look like this in this magazine, but I was in hair and makeup for 2.5 hours. And yes, I have a book, but there's a typo in it because I have spelling mistakes and I do not have perfect grammar, you know?
Yeah, you might have done, I think you've done the cover of the Sunday Independent magazine how many times now? Three, four, five times?
Come on now, three, I think.
Three.
Two or three.
Okay, but
three.
How do you, when you do that, when you do the sort of the fashion shoot as it is for that thing, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because it's going with something that you're writing or an interview that you've done. But how worried do you get then about the whole appearance thing for a magazine like that?
Terrified, absolutely terrified. Because it is very exposing and it's part of the job that doesn't sit easy with me. I'm not a model, you know, so even during the photo shoot, Kip Carroll is the photographer who shoots for the Sindo, and he, you know, I'm not a model. So he's like, move your hands. And I'm like, Kip, I don't know what to do with my hands. So can you just tell me where to put them? I don't know what I'm doing here. And then I always take my own pictures before the shoot, during the shoot, when I'm like getting changed in the back of a car, literally on Lotts Road in Dublin in Ringsend, to like in this, trying to get into a Valentino dress in the back of a Volkswagen Jetta, so that when the shoot comes out, I can put up on my social media on Instagram, like, this is what this actually was like. So I'm not giving a fully false indication of.
But is it good for your own sense of self-worth and self-value to do shoots like that as well? That, you know, that you are there, that you look so well in the clothes that they give you to the shoots. Does that give you a real sense of self-esteem?
No, it doesn't. It's like a dragon that you have to chase, you know, because you're like, I have those photos, I see those photos, and then, you know, I'm having a bad day and I compare myself to myself and I'm less than, you know. It's like when you, I follow people on Instagram who are at the gym and they're lifting like 200 kgs and I'm there in my little fives and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so useless and what is wrong with me and this is terrible. And then I'm like, hang on, I need to not follow this person anymore because fives is better than nothing. And it's awful when I've done a photo shoot and I have that thing with myself. So, like, I compare myself to my old self and I don't measure up. So then I delete the photos.
Okay, can you ever envisage yourself in a Garda uniform? The reason I ask this is you did actually start in Templemore studying to be a Garda. Did you get a uniform at that stage?
No, but in Kanko Bunkum season one, I have a cameo as a Garda. So I have photographs of me in a Garda uniform and I really pull it off.
That's real self-indulging, isn't it?
It was my birthday and it was my TV show and I was allowed to, I was really proud and I was just so excited.
Okay, why did you want to be a Garda?
Because I love rules and I love the establishment.
Enforcing rules, is it?
Well, I don't really like enforcing them, but if they exist, I will obey them and encourage the people around me to also obey them. Because that's why order exists. It's why I love IKEA, because there's a direction that you have to walk. And then there are psychopaths who walk against it. And you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're walking against the arrows just to be an anarchist. And I love, what are other things that have...
But hold on, why did you walk out of Templemore so?
Oh, I got a role in Enda Walsh's play Chatroom, and I said I'll go back to the Guards when the acting dries up, and then I never did. But
could you ever see yourself going back to it? Do you ever wish you had gone back to it?
Sometimes I do, but then they work very hard. It's a very difficult job, and I wanted to be, I always wanted to be the best at what I did, not I guess to do what I was best at rather than to be the best at what I did. So I wanted to be the first female Garda commissioner. I'm not sure that I would have been a great, like, traffic corps person, because if I was feeling, if I ever get a little bit tetchy or restless in my job, I can get very petty. So I'd probably be that guard who, like, pulled you in for doing, you know, 51 and a 50. And I don't want to be that girl, you know? Yeah, I left the Guards. But the Garda Commissioner, yeah, I mean, it hasn't gone well for the last two.
No, did you see the Maurice McCabe documentary at all?
No, but I read the book. I have the...
Michael Clifford's book,
yes. And actually, funny story. So the last time I was on the show, Michael Clifford was on with me talking about the Maurice McCabe story. And I'm obsessed with that whole thing. But Noreen O'Sullivan actually launched my book because I wrote to her when she was the Garda Commissioner and said, I wanted to be the first female Garda Commissioner. Will you launch my book? And I wrote to the office of On Guard, like the thing, and they wrote back on headed paper. I thought it was a summons in the door, but it wasn't. It was her saying she would. And then she left, and then I was like, oh, she's not going to do the thing. But then they wrote to me and they said she would still launch it. But I didn't know who Michael Clifford was or what that book was about when he was sitting next to me. And Sinead Carroll was also on the panel, and she was like, Michael Clifford, how's it going? How's the book going? He was saying, great. I didn't know what the book was. And then she was like, Stephanie, who's launching your book? And I was like, Noreen O'Sullivan, all excited. And then the two of us just looked at each other and I didn't know what he was looking at me for. And then I found out afterwards. And I was like, oh my God, I'm mortified.
You have a second book coming out next year. What's it going to be about?
It's going to be about people pleasing and being a yes woman and how difficult it is to say no. And basically, it's about the word no and our relationship with it and how it, you it's very difficult to say no, and it gets you into very sticky situations because people want to be liked and people want to be... people don't want people bitching about them behind their back, and people want to be good and kind and accepted and loved, and so it can be very difficult to have boundaries and say no, and I certainly find that, and it's kind of my own journey of not being able to say no.
Has it always been like that for you?
I haven't, yeah, so like as a... No was the first word that I ever said. Right, it was my first word. No, I said it for about a month, and then I forgot how to say it for 27 years. And I just, you know, was the girl who would be the designated driver, or I would drive miles to pick people up from boys' houses in the middle of the night, or I would give relationship advice that I was totally unequipped to give. And I would, you know, my mum used to volunteer me to do things, and I wouldn't say no. And then I was like, I need to start saying no. And then I said no to everything for a couple of years. And
is there a danger then when you do start saying no that people start forming an opinion of her? Oh, she's got too big for her boots.
Yes, yeah. Who does she think she is? The girl has notions. Oh, she won't, you know, be in the local community pantomime, and she won't do the raffle, or she won't do this. And who does she think she is? And then eventually, but I probably said no to too many things, and now I'm trying to find my way of like, I don't always have to say no, but I have to always feel like I could and it would be accepted. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have to always feel like I could say no and someone wouldn't push that boundary. And then sometimes I'll say yes.
When's the book coming out?
May, I think.
What Garda Commissioner? Will you get the Garda Commissioner to launch this
one? I'll
give
Drew an old text there. What's the story, Drew? What are you doing in May?
I'd say he'd probably say no.
Who could I? Well, you see, this is the thing. I've asked Arianna Huffington to blurb it for me. And it's the easiest thing to ask someone to do, because you can say, obviously, if you don't want to do this, I can take no for an answer, even though everyone else in the world can't. So, yeah, she's going to be the first person to read it, which is kind of terrifying. And I don't know who I'm going to get to launch it yet. Someone who's famously said no.
We'll talk to you about that next year. Stephanie Fraser, thank you very much for joining us here in Westport for the Rolling Sun Book Festival.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.